Welcome to the pulpit ministry of the Launce Baptist Church. Hi, this is Jerry Bishop, and I want to thank you for listening today. Here at Launce Baptist, we believe in proclaiming the glory of God, the wonderful good news of the gospel, the lordship of Christ, and the authority of Scripture over our lives. May the Lord bless you, and may you grow in the knowledge of Him today as you listen.
We're going to talk about something that is very challenging, that is rough for all of us. It brings up different thoughts, different feelings. It's a loaded word. It's to kids. It's a four-letter word. It's love. It's one of those things that brings up all kinds of feelings when you think of it. Brings up all kinds of thoughts on what it is, what it does, how it works. You may be thinking now it makes sense that he's talking about love. He's about to get married. And I have, because of my fiance and the Lord's will and that, the last 2.5 years or so, I've spent a good bit of time looking at myself, looking at God's Word, and seeing what love really is and how to love. But it's one of those things that, as a kid growing up, you look at little boys, and to them it really is a four-letter word. They'll look at each other and be like, if you eat that worm, I'll give you this rubber band. They're like, okay, I'll do it. But if you bring up the word love, it's like, it's just one of those things. But we're going to spend both the times that I get with you today on love. We're going to be in a chapter in 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, that is actually called the love chapter. This chapter is actually right in the middle of a section in 1 Corinthians about spiritual gifts. Now, initially that may not make sense, but I'll try to help us through this. The Corinthian church had problems. It wasn't one that was doing very well. Paul spends a lot of this letter challenging them in different areas, and mostly telling them, don't be carnal, be godly. But he gets to the section on spiritual gifts, and he's correcting them. He's telling them how to look at them, because they didn't have it right. The Corinthians looked at gifts as who had what gift, and who had this certain gift. They would elevate certain gifts over others as a more prominent, as a more prestigious thing. And you can look at these few chapters and see how often Paul brings up public gifts, such as tongues. That was a big one for them. They could do that, they would be seen, and it was probably a pride thing for them. Be like, I have this gift. God's picked me to have it, so I'm better than that person who has the gift of giving, or I'm better than this person who has the gift of serving. They had a wrong view of gifts. So Paul takes chapter 12 and goes through different gifts and how they're supposed to work. It's supposed to be a body. All different types of gifts that work together. None more important than the other. Because the purpose of a gift is to use it to serve the body, for that body to grow. It's not to say, I've got this, so I must be pretty good. I've got a gift that has to do with speaking in front of people, so I must be more important. But that's not the way it is. And Paul is correcting them on this. And he even gets down to the end of chapter 12. In verse 31, it says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. He's saying, desire those gifts, but I'm going to show you something that's far, far better. Something that's much more important than who has what gift. Something that's much more important than how that gift is used, or how you do it, or what you do with it. And that is love. This thing that is far, far better than who has what gift or desiring certain gifts is love. Before we go much further, what is love? For this morning, we'll use a simple definition. Love is a choice to sacrifice of yourself for the sake of another. Or another way it could be, it's a choice to put someone else above you. Love is definitely a choice. It comes with feelings, but that's not all it is. It'll have feelings there, but the thing is, love is a choice. You can choose to love someone, and you can choose not to love someone. But that'll be our simple definition for this morning. If you want to see the more fuller picture of what love looks like, you can come back tonight. Hopefully it doesn't sound too much like a sales pitch, because that's not how I mean it. But that's what we'll be looking at tonight. But this morning we're going to look at the first three verses. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Before we go much further, let's take some time just to pray. Lord, I thank you for this passage, for the great challenge it is to love, and the importance of that. I pray that you would give strength now to me, help me to be clear. I pray that we'd all have open hearts, that we'd all be searching ourselves to see in what ways you could challenge us from this, in what ways we need to change. I pray that you would guide this time now, that you would use in a great way, that we'd be more like you because of this. And I pray that you would have this message go through, not because of me, but in spite of me. Just give wisdom to each of us and how to use this. In your name I pray. Amen. So, here's a challenge for this morning. Love must be our motive in service. We'll look at three reasons why that's so. The first of which is that speaking gifts, use of speech, is nothing without love. He says in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Paul starts to build this up in verse 1. He's talking about if he had the ability to speak in languages, tongues of men and of angels, that could be any language on earth. He could speak the Latin, the Greek, the Hebrew, all this different stuff. If he could do all that, any language, where he could talk to anyone. Or, if it goes even further, to where he knew a language they didn't know, a language of angels, this could be. It's not really clear what a tongue of angels is. But the important part is that it doesn't matter what ability he had in speaking, that without love, it would sound like a sounding brass, a clanging cymbal. This is a big thing. Because who can talk with a tongue of an angel? Who can speak a language that we don't know? This is something that they couldn't attain. This is something that, for the Corinthians, would have been a huge deal because of the emphasis they put on gifts like tongues. So Paul's coming right out and saying, this thing that you want, even if you could do that, even further than you think you can, it would be nothing without love. He says it would sound like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You could think of this as noise, basically. Sounding brass, clanging cymbal. You could think of a gong. Just one of the pictures here. A gong is a big piece of metal that is hit with a mallet to make a loud sound so that everyone can hear it. But have you ever heard of anyone taking that big mallet and trying to make a song with a gong? It doesn't work. It's not meant for that. It doesn't make a sound that is musical. It's not something you think of. Oh, we're going to add that to our quartet. We'll have our brass quartet, including our gong. It doesn't work that way. Because a gong just makes noise. Or, you may have done this, or you may have watched your kids do this. How many have seen a kid sitting in the middle of the kitchen floor, banging on all of mom's pots and pans? I probably did that. I've seen kids do that. How musical is that? What kind of songs do kids come up with as they're just sitting there banging away? Usually, if the kid's banging away and they have sisters and brothers, like, Mom, make him stop. Stuff like that. That would have happened in my house. But it's not a good sound. It's just noise. It's not going to help anybody. It's not going to be some song. It's noise. And Paul is saying that these Corinthians, or him, even if he was able to speak with any tongue, men or angels, that without love as his motive, it would just be noise. It would have no profit. It would be useless. He'd just be up there yakking away for nothing. This is a big deal to the Corinthians because of what they thought of tongues. Because they wanted to be in front of people. They wanted to have people see them use a gift such as tongues. If someone got up with that, they'd be like, I wish I had that. They wouldn't see the important part. That the gift that we each have isn't important who has what gift. But it's important that you have love when you use that gift. Because that gift is meant for service. That gift is meant to help the body. It's not meant to help you. It's meant to help the body. So for someone to say or think that they want a certain gift so they can be noticed, or people can think certain things of them, kind of takes away the whole point. Because this gift is to be used unselfishly. It's not to be used for attention. It is to be used out of love. It's to be used out of a self-sacrificial placing of one person above you. So if that's speaking, like me right now, I had to look at myself and make sure that when I do this, I'm doing it because I love you. I can't do this because you're going to tell me, oh, good job, preacher boy. That's not what I'm here to hear. Now, that can be encouraging, especially knowing that you have to sit and listen through some things I say and boggle through and all that. But the point is that when you use a gift, it has to be out of love. You could be the most eloquent speaker there is, be able to explain the gospel better than anyone else. You could be able to explain complex ideas to people to help them understand. But if you did that without love, it'd be worthless. You might as well be kind of like the Charlie Brown adults that just wah, 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 wah. You might as well do that. What kind of areas do we see in our own lives that we need to look at this? It could be that you do know languages, that you're able to use them. That's great. That's a great tool. You could be able to learn like Spanish or French or whatever and be able to use that to share the gospel, to be able to teach. But if you do that without love, it's nothing. In witnessing, you taking the time to share Christ with someone, even though it's hard to think of doing that without love, it is possible. If you do that with the wrong motive, it's worth nothing. If you are trying to help a friend by giving them certain advice, trying to counsel them, and you're doing that out of something other than love, such as you're just showing pity to them, you're being arrogant and saying, you're glad, you ought to be glad I'm here to help you with this. Or if you are just proud of yourself that you're not in the same problem that they are. If you're giving counsel out of that, then it's worthless. Then it's nothing. You have to use these speaking gifts, the speaking talents, the service. It has to be done in love. That's the only way it's going to be of any profit. It's the only way it's going to sound like anything other than noise. When you teach Sunday school, it's the same thing. Using that speech to help out the people that are sitting in front of you, to help them to grow. Your motive needs to be because you love them. You want them to grow. You want them to understand. Not because you think, I'm their teacher, they need me. Or, if I'm the Sunday school teacher, then people see me do that in church and think, I'm a good guy. It's the wrong motive. The motive is love. And without love, that teaching is useless. It's noise. This is speaking gifts. We can see that they are noise, that they are nothing without love. This is our first reason that we have to have love as our motive. The second is in verse 2. That is, that knowledge is nothing without love. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Paul is continuing to build this up. Some of the things he says here are just amazing. To think that it says, though I have the gift of prophecy, which would have been another thing that was a big deal. It was something that was public. Something that people would see. Someone prophesying what God had said. That would be a big deal to the Corinthians. Could be a proud thing. He even goes on to say, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. If he would have been able to understand everything that is mysterious and be able to have all knowledge, and he keeps saying all, which would be kind of like saying he is able to go through life with never having to ask anybody a question because he already knows the answer. He understands all mysteries. If anyone goes, I don't understand, he's like, I do. I have it. You can come to me. He had all knowledge. Or he didn't have all knowledge. He's saying if he had all knowledge. He knew everything. He would be the one that would be the best teacher ever. Because he never had any questions that couldn't be answered. He knew everything. This person would be nothing without love. It didn't matter how much Paul could have known or how much the Corinthians could have known. They could have studied every winking second they had, but it would have been nothing without love. All that knowledge in the world didn't really mean anything if they didn't use it in love. He goes on further to say, though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains. Now this is big. Enough faith to move mountains, to be able to say, God, move that mountain. And there it goes. This is a big thing. It's a big picture of this thing that Paul is building up to show us how important love is. To say that even if you knew everything, even if you were able to stand in front of people and tell what God has revealed to you, even if you had enough faith to move things as massive as a mountain, it's nothing without love. If your motive is something other than love, then you are nothing. Paul says that, I am nothing. It didn't matter how smart someone could be. It didn't matter how much faith they could have, that they could believe something would happen and it would. It didn't matter. They did that out of pride. If they did that out of wanting to be seen, if they did that out of wanting to build some type of reputation in front of the rest of them, if it was done without love, it was nothing. So we often look at people who who are smart, that know stuff, that are able to do well in school. Those are good things. But we look at them and think that they, you know, they can be greatly used of God. And they can. But we get wrong when we say they can be used more than me, because they have that knowledge. And that's not the way it is. That person has knowledge, but they have to have love when they use it. And the knowledge we have, whatever it is, has to be used in love. Has to be passed on in love. We have to answer questions in love. Without that, it means nothing. You could have all the ability in the world to solve problems. Problem comes up and, like, what to do with this week when pastor's gone and you've got it fixed. Like, hey, pastor, we'll just put that preacher boy up there. We'll do that. If you do that not in love, then that was nothing. And you are nothing. You could be able to analyze and figure out anything. You could understand any idea. You could have enough faith to heal that guy next to you. You could have enough faith to provide every need for your family, for your church. But that would be nothing without love. Love is the motive. Love is what's behind that. Love is what's important. It's not which gift you have or what service you do. Now, these gifts are great things. God has given us gifts, and God expects us to use them. And we must. But we must do that with love. If you don't do it with love, you might as well not do it. Whether that is your ability to speak, or your ability to study and know things and be able to figure things out, that has to be done in love. Without that, Paul even says, I am nothing. So these are the first two reasons that we must have love as our motive. Is that speaking gifts are nothing? Is that knowledge is nothing? The third is in verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And third reason is that sacrifice is nothing without love. You may be thinking so far, okay, I'm not good at speaking, so I don't have to worry about that one. I'm not very smart, so I don't have to worry about that one. Well, here you are. Service. Giving. Sacrifice. This is something we all must do. And some people will actually have a gift in. Some people are gifted in giving. And that's a great thing. God uses that. But Paul is telling the Corinthians, and he continues to build this picture of this thing that is against love, that isn't even comparable to love. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though he would give up everything he had, he would take everything he had and sold it. All his books, all his clothes, all his things. He got rid of all of it to where he had nothing to feed the poor. That would be nothing if he didn't do it with love. He goes even further to say, and though I give my body to be burned. A lot of times we take this to think that it's even to the extent of giving your life to die for someone else. This could also be that he's been giving everything he owns to feed the poor. He gives everything he has, and now he's left with nothing but just himself. So, he gives himself into bondage, into slavery for that person. It's like, I have nothing but me to give, so you can have me too. This would be like one of us taking and having a giant garage sale, yard sale, selling everything we have, and it's gone. We have nothing. Stand there. It's like, I still want to help you, so you can have me. I'm yours now. I don't care where you make me live. I don't care what you feed me, all that. But I'm yours. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do your laundry. I'll do your dishes. I will follow you around. I'll do your taxes. I'll do all your budget. I'll do whatever you want. I'll chop that wood. That giving of everything you own, even up until the point to where you are giving your very self and the rest of your life, that would be nothing. That would profit nothing to you without love. What a picture. What a challenge. Paul has been building this up, this thing, to where it doesn't matter how well you can speak. It doesn't matter how much you know. It doesn't matter how much you can give of yourself. You can give everything you have up until the point to your very service, to your very death. That would be nothing without love. All to build up this point to where there is nothing that can be done without love that will profit anything. Love is a big deal. Everything that we do in service must be done in love. You could take your things and give them to the Goodwill. You could take your things and have a yard sale and then give the money to the church. You could put more than your 10% in when the offering plate goes by. You could help the teens with their financial situation going to Ireland. You could do all these things. You can take your old clothes and hand them down to kids growing up. I know that's one thing. When I went off to college, a Christian college, you have to wear a tie all week. You have to dress up. I didn't have many dress-up clothes because I wore jeans and a t-shirt all through high school. So it was nice in the church. A lot of times, well, it's kind of weird, but it was almost always a lady coming to me. A friend of mine's husband died, and here are all his ties. I'm like, all right. So, it's weird to think, a lot of the ties I have sitting there, is like, that's a dead guy's tie, right? But you can even take your things that have the sentimental value that are important to you, that you look at and they remind you of a certain event. You could take something as important as I'm about to find out how important it is. You could take your wedding ring, how important that is, and you could give that away so that you could feed the poor. Without love, that profits nothing. What a picture Paul is building up. What a challenge that is to us. To think that it doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter what gift we have. It doesn't matter how important you may think you are because of the gift you have. It has to be done in love. If it's not, it's worthless. You might as well bang on a gong or the pans on the floor. You might as well sound like the Charlie Brown adults. You might as well not even serve to begin with. Not even crack open a book to study. Not even try to give a friend counsel. Not even give any offering. Unless that is done in love. That has to be our motive. That has to be our reason for serving. Because we realize that our gifts, the reason we have the different gifts, the ability to speak, the gift of giving, the gift of service, helps, the gift of administration, these different gifts that we have that Scripture talks about. The reason you have that is so you can serve, which is an unselfish thing, which is the thing that has to be done out of love. That once you start to do it for yourself or to do it because you want attention, it just takes the whole purpose all out of it. And you're misusing that gift God has given. It has to be done in love. Love must be our motive in service. Because all service, when done without love, is self-serving and worthless. Let that be your motive. When you serve, when you greet people coming into the service, when you teach Sunday school, when you put the money in the offering, when you try to encourage a friend, encourage pastor, do that out of love. And if it's not out of love, don't even worry about it. You've got something else to worry about. Not your own heart. Our service must be out of love. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your love for us. To know that you are a perfect example of how we are to do this. We can look at what you did on the cross for us and to see that is a great picture of you showing your love through giving of your life. And then raising again and providing a way for us to know you. What a picture of how we ought to be sacrificial of ourselves to others. But I pray, Lord, that as we go about and see the different things that you have gifted us to do, the things that you have commanded us to do, I pray that we would see and interrogate ourselves to see what our motives are. See, why do we do that? Why did I greet that person? Why did I just teach that Sunday school class? I pray, Lord, that you would reveal our own hearts to us and that you would give us the strength to change and that you would give us the strength to have our love grow, to have our love for you grow, to have our love for others grow. Lord, I thank you for this day. Give us a great afternoon to grow closer to you. I pray that you would encourage each of our hearts. Give us strength to continue on with the commands that you have given us. In your name I pray. Amen.